bassist Dave Holland. Welcome.
Thank you, Jake. Nice to be with you.
Well, it's great to talk to you, my man. And I just wanted you to talk about really the first time that Miles Davis kind of approached you and said, hey, I'd like you to be part of my band.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually meet Miles until after I'd been on the bandstand with him, funnily enough. I mean, he came to a club where I was working and heard me and left a message for me to call him the next day at the hotel. When I did, he checked out and gone back to America, and I waited for about 3 weeks before I got a call finally from his manager. That was how that went down. When I got to New York, we didn't have a rehearsal. I went to Herbie Hancock's house so he could show me a couple of Wayne Shorter tunes, which I wasn't too clear about from the recording. So there wasn't usually any rehearsals as far as I could tell. You know, Miles had been picking up different bass players in different locations as he went around. Ron had left the band probably a year or so ahead of my joining the group, and he'd made occasional gigs with the band, but it was essentially, picking up a bass player as you go kind of deal. So there was an opening there, and luckily I was in the right place at the right time. Miles heard me and gave me a chance at it.
I'm curious as to your leadership style as far as how you scout talent and if you learned anything from Miles in that respect.
Well, I think the whole experience of being around Miles and watching how he conducted himself, how he put together music for the recordings and so on, was a great experience. And how he reacted on the bandstand as a player, what his awareness of the group was and what was happening. I mean, I think one of the things that I really felt was that he liked, and I've heard this from other musicians, and is that he liked the musicians to come to their own conclusions and to find their own way in the music, and he kind of set you in motion with an idea or a sketch of a piece or a composition that he was presenting, and then he looked to you to fill in the gaps. Coltrane, was a quote from Coltrane saying that when he first joined the band, he kept asking Miles what did he want him to do, and Miles just kept walking away, turning his back on him and walking away. And Coltrane said, I finally realized that was what I was supposed to figure out, what I was supposed to do. And I think that's a great compliment to Miles, because he respected the musicians. He knew that if he was going to get the best out of them, he needed to give them a chance to express themselves and be creative. And, he kind of worked with that as a band leader, worked with the flows that were there. And that's certainly something that I've tried to do with my groups, is to give as much creative room as possible to the players and really have just enough material to give some direction in terms of where we were going. And also, I've always enjoyed playing the music that, many of the musicians that I've had in my groups are great composers too, so the opportunity to play music that's been written by other players but for the group that I put together is great. And this particular project, Prism, which is a relatively new one, we only put together in the second half of last year, is along those lines.
And I really was hoping you could go back to this time when you were playing with all these individualists, if that's what you want to say, and talk about how the urgency of the music, it doesn't necessarily mean the music was rushed, but just the power of it and the swing element and how individuality reigned supreme at that time.
It was a time, I think, when you're a young musician, there is a sense of discovery and urgency that comes into your playing and the music, and it certainly propelled a lot of our projects. I still feel tremendous enthusiasm for the music, and the meaning of it changes, I think, over the years. For me, music and life are much more interconnected now. I used to see them a little more separate entities, but to me, it's all part of one thing.
Can you talk about that a little bit? That's really fascinating. I'd love you to
explain that. I remember as a young player, the older musicians would say, you've got to tell a story when you play. And of course, as a young player, you're still dealing with trying to play a blues or whatever the tune is and learn the language of the music. But it's all, I think as you do mature, you start to realize that that language is only relevant if it expresses something about who you are, how you feel, what your life experiences are, and you try and put that into the music. And of course, let's say, going along with the analogy, the story you tell is going to sound different to different listeners because they bring their story to the music too, and you reflect on the music you're listening to with your own point of view and your own experience, which is exactly the way it should be.
You came up with the understanding that music was just one genre as opposed to different genres. I think for younger musicians, I would love you to talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I mean, music's a universal language, and it's, you know, it's got dialects depending on what part of the world, you know, there's obviously things that are particular to different cultures and different musical styles and languages, but so many of the traditions are connected in some ways, and they're becoming more and more connected now as the world gets smaller and we all become aware of each other more, you know, and the cross-pollination is happening even more than it used to. Certainly the music that I grew up with came out of blues and rhythm and blues and the music in the African American community here in America, you know, has permeated popular music and has permeated obviously jazz and so, you know, the connections there are deep, going back to the roots of the music. Bluegrass musicians are playing jazz songs, jazz players are playing bluegrass. It's all just music to me. I found that, each experience kind of helped me develop as a player, whether it was playing classical music or jazz or rock and roll. You know, it was all music to me. Something to enjoy and learn from, and to most of all, to share with other people.
Talk to me, Dave. Do you need help with that?
No, not at all. It's Vesa Clements.
That's right, man.
Late great Vesa Clements on violin. It's an improvised blues that we put together in the studio. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. I think it was the first time I'd been to Nashville, so that was a great experience. And this happened after the John Hartford recording "Morning Bugle," which was in '73, I think, and A young guy from Philadelphia just inherited a small amount of money, and he decided to invite all his favorite bluegrass artists to play at the wonderful Academy of Music in Philadelphia. And he invited, all the players that are on that album and several others. And I ended up being at the concert because he'd heard me on the Hartford record and thought, you know, let me call Dave Holland and see if he can make the gigs. And it was an amazing afternoon. We were arriving at the theater, backstage in the dressing room. The jam session started immediately. People would go out to stage and do a sound check and then come back in and rejoin the jam session backstage. And by the time the show started, the word had got out, I think, in the bluegrass community. So several other people had turned up to be part of the concert. So the final song we played ended up being something like, in my recollection, 20-plus musicians all lined across the stage. Wow. Playing, you know, four dobras, five mandolins, guitars, fiddles, banjos, and there I am at the end of this line playing bass, trying to watch the guitar player's hand so I could figure out what the chords were on these classic tunes that they all knew, but which I was sometimes hearing for the first time. You know, that's the great thing about music for me, is it's a communal activity most of the time. It's something you do with other people and you share with people in the audience, and it's a great meeting point and a gathering point for us to celebrate our human beingness.